Sergio, in today's study, the early church faces an absolutely crucial decision.
That's right. They're forced to ask themselves a really hard question, one we might have trouble even answering today, which is, how much are we willing to change so that others can come to know God? All right. Well, thank you so much for watching from home. We're excited that you're joining us here as part of Cross Connection X. And Claudia, Diego, thank you so much. We're so excited to have you here
always,
again.
Man. Thank you.
And today's chapter is actually one of the most crucial chapters in the Gospel according to Acts.
Absolutely.
Wow. In the Gospel to Acts.
Yeah, every chapter is crucial, but this is even more crucial.
No, because to be honest, the book of Acts hinges us on stands on two chapters, chapter 11 and chapter 15.
Absolutely.
And you were also guest on during our study of the chapter.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, exactly.
What a coincidence.
Chapter 11, chapter 15, because this is when the church needed to make a crucial decision.
Yes.
And the shift needed to happen.
Yes.
So we will talk about that shift today. Are you excited about it?
Absolutely.
Okay,
let's shift it.
Yeah, exactly. So Claudia, could you lead us in prayer before we open the scripture?
Sure. Lord, we praise you and thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word.
Amen.
And so we come into your presence asking that your Holy Spirit just make the word clear and plain to us, that we truly might have a changed mind and we might live differently because of what we've learned today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so the first portion that we will be talking about will be counsels and doctrines.
Wow.
Okay.
Right.
Counsels and doctrines. Mm. Okay. So, and I would like us to go back to the map that we usually do, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are, again, this is Mediterranean world.
Mm-hmm.
So what we will see now, we will see how the church actually needs Paul and Peter and everybody else, they need to go back to Israel from Antioch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you see there is a place which is Antioch right here.
Yes.
And you can see it right here. This is Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
So they all needed to go back to Jerusalem, which is right here.
Yeah.
So, and the council would be happening right here. This is one of the first councils. It's actually the first council.
Okay.
The first council of the church. So this is what we are talking about. Chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, the first council.
Right.
So let's read verse number 1. So it's chapter 15, verse 1. Sergio, could you read that verse?
Yes. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.
Mm.
Okay, so this is what they teach in Antioch and all over the place.
Right.
So now they had to go back all the way to Jerusalem. Verse 6. Can somebody read verse 6? 6 and 7.
Sure, I can do it. Our New King James Version says, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when they had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe.
Mm. Okay, so do you see that he's referring back to what?
Chapter 11.
Chapter 11.
Yeah,
what happened
before.
Yeah.
Peter is referring to chapter 11. So there was a problem. What is that problem? We read it in chapter 15, verse 1. What was the problem?
Some guys came down and start teaching them that you had to be circumcised according to the custom of Moses to be saved.
Okay.
And so maybe to help set the stage a little better, too, we could take a look at our character profiles
Absolutely.
For the day. We've been seeing a lot of them lately in the book of Acts, and we're seeing them again. They are Paul and Barnabas. Those of you who have been watching know they are partners in ministry up to this point in the book of Acts. They are traveling particularly through Greco-Roman cities, which is to say Gentile cities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the purpose of their mission. And now, as you've stated, Oleg, they are called to this Jerusalem to address whether Gentiles should be circumcised. And they represent the opposite viewpoint of the one that verse 1 just represented, which is that everyone needs to be circumcised in order to be saved.
Yes.
Excellent. But why circumcision? Because when we talk about circumcision today, it's just like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's not an issue. Like, what are you talking? Like, it's
you got to look back in the Jewish history,
okay.
Right? How God called Abraham, and how God told Abraham to circumcise him, circumcise his sons, and then how Moses eventually had to do the same thing. I mean, you do so to be circumcised, to be a Jew, to be a male Jew, you had to be circumcised. It was part of the covenant of God. So that happened to every male child when they were eight days old. And that was it.
So this is the most crucial traditional element, the most crucial traditional element that became a doctrine for all people who would
circumcise children on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And although it was considered a surgery because you cut in every, it was not supposed to, but because it had to be on the eighth day. Even children were circumcised on that. So this was big.
So this is the most crucial element.
It is. This was big.
And it's associated with identity. So it's a key thing, even though for us it would seem strange.
You're not a Jew until you're circumcised,
exactly.
If you're male.
It's a key part of who you are. Yes. Yeah.
So basically, and now they say, if you want to become saved, you need to also, even Gentiles needed to be circumcised.
Yes. This is what
So what is this council doing then? So what is this council? So what the council, they're gathered together and they're talking about that we should let them actually... We should just forget about the circumcision, basically.
Waive the circumcision.
Waive the circumcision. That's
circumcision clause.
Well, I love to say this because, you know, this is the first general conference. So I call it the first board meeting, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a problem. Now, what I like this is I noticed that a certain man came from Judea. Most likely they were not there when Peter came back with a report from what was happening with the Gentiles. Probably they were not there. So there's a new guys coming in and said, no, we got to hold our tradition, ways. And now the church is coming together to discuss this. Because chapter 11, it happened right there. So, let's just see what happens. Now the thing's exploding. It's getting out of control. Right. It is happening on and on and on. And saying, no, they're not saved. Mm-hmm. They have to become. So now they're coming together. As you're speaking about accountability, like when we talk about chapter 11, that's what they're doing now. They're coming together and they have to discuss how they're going to move from now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and as you reference chapter 11, I remember when we had that study, we really referred to how it was like just a whole paradigm shift in how the gospel was viewed and in the early church's understanding of the gospel. And here we're seeing that again. They're facing the issue of, is the gospel, is salvation about doctrines? Or is it about the grace of God? Mm-hmm. And that is the fundamental question that they're faced here. That what role is doctrine necessary for salvation? They're saying, it's not that they're saying people should be circumcised. They're saying that they need to be circumcised. And if you don't, you cannot be saved. That's how verse 1 ends.
That's a very daring
statement. That is a fundamental view of the gospel that is challenging the church in this moment.
Yeah. So what is the effect of doctrines on our society and our faith and so forth? And how should we change maybe presentation of the doctrine?
Well, let me just give the first shot. You know, as a pastor, you know, there's a tendency, especially with our generation, millennials, that says, no doctrines, only Jesus. No, throw the doctrines aside, only Jesus, only Jesus. Well, wait a minute, just stop to think what you're saying. This very sentence is a doctrine in of itself. No, throw the doctrine away, so just keep it Jesus.
You're laying a new doctrine.
Yeah, this is a fundamental, a new doctrine. Mm-hmm. So doctrines, I like to call them values, because what the Bible teaches and calls us for this, you know, those are values. And they are, you cannot compromise, they don't change, they have always been the same. Mm-hmm. They will never change. And that is what happens, because we rebel against tradition, those things that men have erected, and I understand the rebellion, but we cannot just throw the baby with the bathwater.
So look what the problem we face. Sometimes we just have a doctrine or tradition, and then we just follow it without understanding the meaning of that doctrine.
Uh-huh. Right.
So that is horrible. Because then we just do it without even knowing the greater meaning of it and just say, okay, this is what you need to do because this is what it says, but I don't know why.
Right.
But I think that's why the point, and I like that you use the word value. I think that we should see them as values.
Absolutely.
But when you follow a value or when you're following a doctrine, you're following the spirit of that law rather than the letter of that law.
Yes.
So that when things
Absolutely.
Change and morph in society, then you can ultimately continue to follow that
value,
to follow that doctrine, even though it has shifted in some way.
Yes.
So that is exactly why the Sermon on the Mount, remember, Jesus delivered all the disciples, they remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So because it was so repeated all over the place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So because Jesus says, you know, it's not about just killing a person, but the greater meaning is just to even to be angry.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you truly understand the heart of the doctrine, then you will be treating people differently.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And again, doctrine is teaching, understanding understanding that Jesus saves you. Even metanoia, we've been discussing along. This is a doctrine of itself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Change your mind. So there's nothing wrong with it. So don't throw the baby with the bathwater.
Yes. Mm. Okay, excellent. I'm looking forward to what we will discover next, because we will see how the church actually gave control to God. And they say, you know what? It's not us. Let God talk through us.
Yeah.
And this is what we are willing to experience as well. So stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We will continue our discussion after this break. I'm excited about our discussion because we just learned that the church, they faced this very difficult decision. They had a huge, serious doctrine, yes. Circumcision.
Yes.
And, but they not necessarily fully understood the meaning of circumcision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they just basically said that everybody needs to do it because that is the doctrine of salvation.
Yes. Right. Yes. Right.
But then Peter says, no, but even the Gentiles who are not circumcised, they can also be welcomed.
Right.
So they were willing to consider and reconsider
what
the circumcision is. Okay, so let's go to verse 5. So this is what Peter just said, that, okay, so now we need to accept others. But there were some people who reacted. And Claudia, can you read verse 5? So
sure.
We are in Acts chapter 15, verse 5.
Sure. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses.
Mm. Okay, so you see this opposition?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Peter, the leader, he just experienced that. But some groups, part of Pharisees...
Right, and if I may, Oleg, I think this is really important because I think Luke is showing us the dynamic of what mindset is this church going to have. There's Peter's mindset where he says, I believed in something hardcore. Like, I really believe that thing. And then God completely changed my mind about it. And I realized it's not up to me. It's up to God. And then we have another group coming in saying, wait a minute, it's necessary for us to command them on what to do. So we are faced with a choice. What is the church's role? What is this group of people's job?
What you're pointing out is extremely crucial because they didn't say it is necessary to circumcise and to command. They didn't say it is necessary to circumcise, so let us see what God says.
Right. But that's what's so important. So the fact that Peter even changes his mind shows us that the greatest counsel that we could follow is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the greatest doctrine that we have is literally Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He is our understanding. He is our example. He is our standard.
Right.
So, no, this is crucial because what if we try to understand each doctrine through Jesus Christ?
Through Jesus Christ.
You can only understand doctrine, teachings through
Absolutely.
The
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Nothing would make sense.
Absolutely.
Look at the whole Old Testament. Everything points to Jesus. And you're not going to get it.
Yes.
But I think what we see here in Acts 15, though, is it. Actually, a group of people that are understanding or attempting to understand a doctrine outside of Christ.
Yes.
And so because they're understanding it outside of Christ, they're literally trying to force the physical act of circumcision on a group of people without actually attaching it to the spiritual covenant.
Wow.
Thank you. You just remind me what I had in mind because I forgot. They know it so much.
Really. It left you, went to her.
And she brought it back. I loved it. I mean, those Jews here, those Pharisees, they accepted Christ.
Mm. Yes.
It says who believed.
Yeah, who believed. Absolutely.
This is mind-blowing. They believed in Christ.
Right.
So they probably left their, like, the ways of synagogue and everything, but they have not left completely Judaism. And they thought, I'm just going to add Christ to my body of beliefs.
Yeah. Mm.
You suffer some persecution, some ridicule. You do.
I'm going to incorporate him into that.
You add. Yeah. But no, when Jesus comes in, it's not just adding a new doctrine, a new piece. No, no.
Correct.
He's changing everything, brother.
But that is exactly, remember what he said? You do not pour new wine into old wineskins. Yeah, this is what he said.
Yes.
If you take Jesus, you take him all or nothing at all.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You just cannot do it.
That's a profound thing to see, that these two groups, one of them had been with Jesus.
Yes.
The other had not. One had been with Jesus. One sat down and looked at a resurrected Jesus and said, I love you, three times.
Yes.
One looked at a resurrected Jesus who told him, say, feed my sheep.
Sheep.
And that is the compulsion. That's a conviction that he's following.
So, let's read verse 1 again. Verse 1. Can somebody read verse 1 again?
And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you will circumcise according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.
Mm. Okay, and let's read verse 11. So now they're considering this matter.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, okay, so there is one group. Peter says, no, but they accepted.
Mm.
They really accepted. Jesus accepted them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the group, Pharisees, no, we shouldn't accept them. Then they consider this matter. And this is the conclusion after they consider this matter. Sergio, could you read that verse?
I love this. Oh, thanks for asking me to read this. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they.
Amen.
Do you see this?
Amen.
Verse 1, you shall be saved only through what?
Moses.
Through Moses and circumcision?
Yes.
Now, we believe
through Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Wow. So what is the lesson?
Well, I think, first of all, every time you're dealing with leadership and churches and anything you want to change, there always will be opposition. that is common. It would always, you can't even expect it. It's going to be there. But at a point, there will be parting ways, parting waters. Mm. You have to go and follow what God is leading to do it. Yeah. And that's where many people think the church in the first century was perfect. Now, read that again.
Oh, yeah.
It was filled with problems.
Right.
But they're still willing to move.
They're willing to be
forward.
Changed.
They're willing to move, to be changed, to move forward. And those who are not coming in on board says, okay, guys, We gotta follow what God is telling us.
Well, and you know, it's funny, you call this the gospel of Acts, kind of jokingly, but really we see the gospel coming into fruition and being more and more fully realized because we see a group of people here that say, oh, wait a minute. It's not our job to save people.
Yeah.
Right? That's not our role. Yeah. Jesus saved them on the cross.
Right.
So our job is now to not be a barrier between them and the act that Jesus committed for them, and instead point to the grace of Jesus. And
that,
God they had that realization. It's why we're here today.
Right.
Yes, awesome.
Excellent.
Amen.
So let's see what is happening in verse 12, because we need to read that verse. And Claudia, could you read verse 12?
Sure. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles.
And then verse 13.
And after they had become silent, James answered saying, men and brethren, listen to me.
So who is this James? It's actually the brother of Jesus. So the brother of Jesus, because he became the leader of the church when Peter...
And unfortunately, the other James has been killed.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the brother of Jesus. When Jesus was walking, when he was teaching disciples, he wasn't part of them.
No, they thought he was crazy. He was out of his mind. Yeah.
So, but then after Jesus was resurrected, James, the brother of Jesus, he became a serious disciple.
Yes.
So this is a serious disciple of Jesus who is actually a brother.
Right. Yeah. Spent a lot of time with him.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is what he says. And then look what he's especially saying in verse 19. So this is his speech, and this is verse 19. So what is he saying? Sergio, could you read this?
Yes, which verse?
19.
19.
Yeah, verse 19.
19 says, therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God.
Mm-hmm. So we should not. So you see, it's just, he says, you know, we should make the gospel as simple as possible.
The NIV says we should not make it difficult.
Yeah, make it difficult.
Wait a minute, guys. We talked about the role of doctrine. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, guys. Our doctrine is actually getting in the way of people coming to know God. Then that means it needs to change. That's a good test, barometer for something needs to change.
Yes. But isn't this the lesson so he understood it? He had this metanoia. Yes. He says, we cannot make it difficult to come to Jesus.
Because that's the ultimate goal.
Exactly. Yeah. So whatever it takes, if something stands on the way of any person to come to Jesus, that needs to go.
Absolutely.
Mm. Right.
And especially with James, just think about it. What will it take you to convince your brother that you are God? Just think about it. He grew up with Jesus,
that's a good point.
What will it take? I mean, this is to me as a former atheist. When I saw that James got converted, I said, man, this is serious. Because, I mean, this guy thought Jesus was crazy before. Right. So he really had to go through a real change to believe that. And now he's getting it. Yeah. And then he's telling, let's just not stand in the way. So again, God is beginning to change the minds. And that's why, as you said, that's why we're here today.
Because the gospel of Acts.
Yeah. You can say it. Yeah.
It's about the work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And sometimes we think that this work is our work.
Yes.
Right. We think, let me tell you what the Spirit should tell you. Yeah. But wait a second, let the Spirit do it.
Right, right.
But I like how they end too. It says, let's not stand in the way. But then he tells them to write them and abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from things. So they still give him a little...
Yeah, four values.
Exactly. Ones that don't get in the way of them coming to Jesus.
And it will probably become like a stumbling block for some, especially the sexual morality, because the world there, it was very moral.
We will talk about it.
That's right. We got to take a break, guys. But thank you so much for joining us. We hope we haven't been making it too difficult for you to come to know Jesus now. But we'll see you right after the break. Welcome back to Cross Connection Acts, and right now we're taking a look at chapter 15, this huge chapter where they determine really what is our role, what is our job, what is not our job, and for our final little section here of the show, we're going to really be taking a look at how they realize they need to open up the way for God, how we can do that.
And this is crucial, because this is our last portion, which is opening the way to God. Yes. And this is what James realized seriously. He said, we need to make sure that the gospel is very easy. to access. So he gives actually four little things that that should be actually written down and sent all over the world to all the Gentiles. Mm. Let's read these verses. Let's read verses 19, 20, and 21 again. And Claudia, could you read these verses?
Sure.
19, 20, and 21, yes.
All right. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. Mm-hmm. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Mm.
Okay, so these are just the four things that that he is saying. Everything else he says is just will fall into its own places.
Right,
right, right. Right.
So, so you raised something very important when you said he actually gives something.
Yes, right. Absolutely. And again, and the people hate the word compromise, and mm-hmm. because compromise kind of gives the idea that you compromise on something that it should not be compromised. So, but you gotta be flexible.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
The church needs to be flexible.
Yes.
If the church had not been flexible, we would not know Christianity. Mm. But they're still giving them some directions. Now, some people like to go in onto chapter 15 of Acts and say, oh, this is it forever. Nothing else should be added to this. Well, as the church this is what was going on back then at that meeting. This is like the minutes of a board meeting. That's what it is. Mm. It's a minutes of a board meeting. No, so send a letter.
It's not a creed. It's not a creed. It's not the first creed.
No. It's just a minutes. Okay, this is what happened. This is what you guys should do. Now, other things come later, and of course, there are other things that come up in the church that are important, but at least they're getting something. Right. They're having a framework to work from.
And they're guided by the principle of what is making it difficult for people to come to know God and what allows people, actually opens up the way for people to know God. And we see these things listed here. I mean, look, stuff like idols, sexual immorality. Yeah, this is going to keep you from a close, nurturing, restorative relationship
with
God. So let's encourage this, because this will actually help people on their spiritual journey if you abstain from idols and sexual immorality. This is going to help you on your journey. So we're going to continue to encourage those things. But that's the guiding factor.
Exactly. Yeah. And so if anything, we're seeing that we don't want there to be any doctrine that is inhibiting someone from coming into a relationship with God, but we do want to present some standards, some values that are ultimately going to help you emulate the character of Christ, right?
Exactly.
So Christ is our doctrine. And so because Christ is our doctrine, we discipline our bodies in certain ways. We are temperate in all things so that we ultimately live and exemplify ourselves like him.
Yes. Right. That's the whole point of when you come to Christ. He will change you.
Right.
You're supposed to become a better person. This isn't going to be wealthy or whatever what some people presented, but you're going to become a better person.
Right. I love that you mentioned change, and we've talked about that a lot, but it really comes down to change. And really, up to this point in the book of Acts, we see the question is not, ought I to change or not? Should I change? That's not the question. The question is, what are the ways in which God is calling me to change, calling us to change, and maybe more importantly, am I willing to make that change in my life? That is the question we see answered.
And look what has happened in verse 22. It's actually surprising how we read about Pharisees, the group of Pharisees who said, no, they still need to be circumcised, and then and Peter and so forth. But then look at the conclusion. Verse 22. And Sergio, could you read verse 22?
Yes. Verse 22 says, then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren.
So do you see, then it pleased only one group?
The apostles and the whole church.
So it pleased the whole church. So then they came to this, as you said, compromise. Mm-hmm. And that pleased the whole church. So it doesn't mean that they all started preaching because they still have differences.
Right.
It's not uniformity, but
it's unity.
It's unity.
Right. Yes.
It's not uniformity, but it's unity.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Right. Let's do it.
Right. Let's do it. Yes.
And you know, we see even later on in Acts that they have Timothy get circumcised. It's not something that they could, but they reach this kind of unity around the idea. Some practice it differently than others, but they've reached a unity around the idea.
Practices, they will always be different from one place to another. Practice is a practice.
Yes. Yeah.
But the values, as you said, the principles, they never change. So if you're able to work with that framework, you're never going to miss the mark.
Mm.
Hopefully not. Yeah.
So in humility, are we ready in humility to reach this unified decision and say, you know what, let's do it. Mm. Let's do it. In humility, are we ready to do it?
Right.
I think it takes a leader.
Yes.
I think it takes a leader. And I think you said this in the episode when we were talking about Acts 11, right? Mm-hmm. No church, no institution, no organization can rise above its leader.
It would not.
And so if we really need unity at a community level, then that means that the leader or leaders of that community need to come to a consensus, if we don't like compromise, a consensus about certain values and ideas, and then say, we are going to come together. Some are going to change their minds, and some are going to stand firm, and we're going to move forward with the vision that we believe the Holy Spirit has given us.
And we need this. We need this in our communities, and we need to start looking at our practices through this prism. Mm-hmm. What if we looked at, if we have a philosophy of, let's not talk to that group. That's a little too controversial. Let's leave them alone, because it's going to cause too much trouble. If we looked at it from the perspective of, is this helping people to know God, or is it making it more difficult? Yeah. The answer is unequivocally, it is more difficult. We need to change this practice. Yes, we need to be more open. We need to be reaching out to people we're not reaching
out
to.
Are we closing the doors into the kingdom of God?
Yes.
And this is the greatest sin. It's just, then you're stumbling block. Put something on your, and just jump into the ocean.
The anvil, this is
what you do, this
you
anchor.
You never be born.
Yeah, exactly. Because then we close the kingdom of heaven.
And I love what it's saying, because here is a call to us and to all of our listeners who are listening to us. Wherever you are, you may be a leader, you may be not, but our communities need leadership.
Yes.
Everything rises and falls on leadership. Mm-hmm. If the leaders are not willing, trust me, sooner or later, if you're not a godly leader, you shall be removed, and God is going to raise others, because even the stones will preach.
Yes.
Jesus said it. You're going to either get on the train, or you're going to get off the train, but the train is going to move forward. It's going to reach its destination.
That's our only choice. We're not going to stop the train or divert it. It's going to do what
And the most beautiful thing happens when Jesus is the true leader.
Amen.
When you look through Jesus Christ, then it's different. Thank you so much, Diego. Thank you, Claudia, for joining us.
Yeah.
It's been an exciting and an enjoyable study. Thank you so much for joining us. And wherever you are on your walk with Jesus today, remember to stay connected with Him in your everyday life, and also here on Cross Connection Acts.